direct from the Los Angeles Underground. It's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear hole. You almost missed me there. And normally I pause a lot longer.
You do.
It's like honey on your ear.
I was like, I'll get it this time.
I was going to give you the finger and...
Whoa.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Didn't get there in time. Welcome back to the Superiority Complex, everybody. I had a nap today. We were full of tacos.
You had a nap?
I had a little nappy nap.
When?
Nice.
Around 8:30.
Wow. Interesting.
I'm on this new schedule. I got to get up at 6 in the morning. And they ain't leaving until 6 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
Somebody say 6 in the morning, please.
6 in the morning.
Thank you.
It's funny. That, to me, that's sleeping in because I'm up at 3.
John, you're a vampire. You're a sleepwalker.
You can call me a Nosferatu.
You're a night stalker is what you are.
I'm a midnight gawker.
Sleepwalker.
I'm a joker. Walker. I'm a smoker. We're doing two different songs.
I'm doing a good one, and you're doing Steve Miller. Oh, John, by the way, before we forget, don't let me forget, you have to pick a prize out of the box today Eric of Aragon. So
that's
we'll
right.
do that.
Okay.
It won't be announced on the air, but we'll do it today, and we'll make sure that
okay.
you get your... So
I forgot about that.
Shout out to Eric of Aragon. I have some shout outs, and I forgot to write them down, and... I didn't bring my notebook, so...
You can just say, you know who you are.
You know who you are.
Here's a shout-out. You know who you are.
A lot.
And click the noise. Jake is here, back from Hawaii. How was it?
Fantastic.
Where'd you stay?
On Maui at the Lana Pi'i Lani Resort.
And you got a tattoo...
Oldest resort on Maui.
You got a tattoo of your of the coordinates of where you stayed?
I did.
And where was that?
That was in... It's the Lana Pi'i Lani.
I just want to hear you say it again.
Where is
resort
it?
Resort and hotel.
That's it. And what
in Lahaina.
I understand that is the oldest resort on Maui.
Yes, it is.
I've been told.
Uh huh.
It has
like one of the world's most famous beaches there. I forget the name of the actual beach. I think it's just the Lani.
But it's famous.
Uh huh.
And you forgot the name.
How famous is it?
That's like Paris has one of the most famous towers in all of the world.
I don't know what it is.
I can't remember the name.
I don't know.
But it's a tower.
All I know, it's an Eiffel.
Yes. I love that. Even though it was at my expense, I love it. Good for you.
Thank you.
What a way to kick off the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you happen to run into Patrick and Justine, who are also here?
Differently.
I know, but you know,
I love that.
It's all Hawaii.
That I would have taken a flight to go see them. Like,
I wonder how long that flight is.
Like 10 minutes.
So it would have been easy.
And then Patrick and Justine are back.
Yeah, we were back last week. Remember?
So jaded. Yeah, we've been back.
Justine is here.
Yeah.
Patrick's awfully grumpy for a guy who just had Chick-fil-A.
And just came back from vacation like a week ago.
In Hawaii.
I'm not grumpy.
You are a little sassy.
Always grumpy.
I'm sassy. I'm not grumpy.
A little pissy.
I'm always sassy, though.
I guess it's a different thing.
Hmm. Yeah, it's very different.
On the spectrum.
Yeah, you need to leave that piss poor attitude at the door, sir.
Thank you. John Sandy's here.
Hey.
A man I've literally never seen grumpy.
Is that true?
Yes.
I don't think that's true.
I swear to God. I've never seen you angry.
I've seen him pissed off.
I've seen you bummed out, like, you know, like if your car breaks or something, you're like, what a pain. But you're never like, it's never, you're never down. It's always, there's always that laugh is just a second away.
I guess so. I know I got my bad days. I guess not in front of you.
Yeah, okay, good for you. Yeah, keep that to yourself.
Hey, do me a favor. Keep that to yourself.
Don't bring it here.
I don't need anything more than a superficial friendship.
Wow.
Hey, okay. How are you?
Let's
talk about Jack Lemmon. You know what I'm saying?
Well.
I'm kidding.
You're like, I'm kidding.
I don't think he is.
I know you're a human being.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You run deep.
With thoughts and feelings.
Still. Yeah. With thoughts and feelings and all that bullshit.
My phone's ringing.
Still waters run deep.
They do. Bridge over troubled waters? Anyone?
Like a bridge.
Okay, we just all watched. Before we jump into the Digital Movie Club, because it's Digital Movie Club week, and I know we have a lot to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah.
We just all witnessed the Captain Marvel trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us for the first time. Mm-hmm. Some of us for the second, third, maybe 37th time. Let's get everyone's gut reaction. What did you think, Justine?
She punched an old lady, is what I think.
She punched Forrest Gump's mom.
And you know that's going to be
Forrest Gump's mom?
It looked like her.
That's got to be like a scroll or something,
yeah.
right?
Is oh, it, yeah.
The scroll can...
They shapeshift.
They shapeshift, yeah.
It was an old lady.
So you just know underneath that old lady was a scroll.
We don't know what that old lady did. She might have deserved it.
They're shapeshifting.
She was on a bus. She might have taken her seat.
Yeah. Mm.
They're shapeshifting bastards, those scrolls.
I'm okay with the old lady punch.
Now, Ben Mendelsohn plays like the head scroll. He looks familiar. Was he in a James Bond movie? Was he playing Q or something?
He was just in... he was the villain in Rogue One.
Yeah.
He was the... No, is that him?
Yeah.
I'm just...
Yeah,
it's no, that's Mads Mikkelsen.
No.
That's Domhnall Gleeson.
It's the same villain from Rogue One. He was also the villain in, what's it called that we just watched? Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, and he was the king in Darkest Hour.
No.
With Gary Oldman.
No.
Yeah, he was.
No.
He really was.
No.
How do you know?
I just watched it yesterday. It was on HBO.
But how do you know?
Bullshit.
Because I watched it.
Bullshit.
Also, the girl from Baby Driver is Winston Churchill's secretary.
Wait, were you talking about Captain Marvel?
Oh, wow. Good for her.
She's British.
Really? Oh, yeah. I've heard her talk.
No way.
I've heard her talk.
How
do you know?
What did you guys think of that Captain Marvel? Are you guys pumped?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Is it living up to your expectations?
They always know how to hook you with the trailer.
Yeah,
they pick it's a character that a lot of people haven't heard of, and with the trailer, you're like, okay, yeah, I gotta go.
I would have rather seen Samuel Jackson doing Pulp Fiction. You know, that would have been nice to see him.
That hair
with the Jerry curl.
Just to be pissed off and angry like that.
I wish they showed all the villains, or not the villains, the teammates. I don't know what they're called, but I want to see Lee Pace again.
What's with the ice pack?
I hit my head last Friday and it still hurts.
Oh, wow. I thought that was like a joke. I look over there, she's got an ice pack on her head.
No, like anytime I was combing my hair, it pulled and then I got like a really bad headache.
No.
For those
I
of
hit
you,
my head under a TV.
For those of you who aren't watching, she has like a 1950s ice pack.
I know, you don't really see ice packs like that except like in Laurel and Hardy movies. You know, and she's got the headphones on over
top
of the...
It's helping hold it up.
Here's something else.
It just helps.
It looks so funny.
It's just so helpful.
Ice pack and then the headphones over the ice pack.
I was trying to drive with it earlier, and every turn I did, I was like, well, there it goes.
That's like if you had a toothache, you'd tie the handkerchief under your chin and go, oh, I got a toothache. It's like 1950s headache, you know. Oh, where's the ice pack? Where's my water bottle?
And then the poor Iceman had to carry that ice up 20 flights of stairs to get it to you. So you could melt it away in that.
The Iceman.
Mm-hmm. The Iceman coming.
Lee Pace plays, what's his name? Ronin. The Destroyer?
Ronin the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Or is it the Accuser? Ronin the Accuser?
It's Conan the Barbarian.
And Ronin the Accuser.
Conan O'Brien.
Where do they get these names?
I don't know. I know she teams up with them.
I never read the comics, so I don't know. It's because this has been through many incarnations, I think.
Yeah.
It was originally a dude.
Mm-hmm.
It was Gene Colan, I think, back in the 60s drawing him. I think that's where the green and silver suit comes from.
I will tell you, if you want to pick up on the... I think most of this comes from the
Ms. Marvel.
With Carol Danvers, which is Kelly Sue DeConnick wrote that storyline. So if you want to pick that up, that is a great way to... When they did Marvel Now, that was one of the best titles. Oh. That was one of the best ones.
Yeah, it did really well.
Well, the trailer looks great, and you get to see a young Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Without the eye patch.
I'm excited about it.
And, oh, Coulson? Is it
Phil Coulson's
back. So he must be like a rookie. So this is the 90s, because at the beginning of that trailer, she falls, she free falls into a Blockbuster rental place.
Looks or like it's in the only standing Blockbuster in the world, I think, is in Alaska.
Alaska.
So maybe it's present-day Alaska.
Well, it also has the guy from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Who?
I don't know what his name was. He's in the very beginning.
You're right.
Trying to get the orb.
Oh, that's right. A couple of those guys were in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
But it's at the beginning of the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
The very beginning.
Because
when he's dancing.
Those guys. Who?
Yeah.
That guy?
And she's teamed up with him. I don't know. I saw the pictures that they posted online of it.
You mean, I'm Star-Lord. Who? That guy?
Yes, exactly.
I'm just gonna keep doing it.
Who?
Sounds like Scooby-Doo.
I saw that trailer a million times and never got to it. Who? Because that trailer used Spirit in the Sky, and I love that.
Yes.
It didn't end up in the movie, but boy.
Yes, it is.
Spirit in the Sky is not in the movie.
Yes, it is, because it's in the soundtrack.
But it's not in the movie. It's in the trailer, but it wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, I wonder if it's over the credits or something. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think it's in the movie.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they come up with.
Spirit in the Sky is on that soundtrack?
It is.
It seems like if it's on the soundtrack.
Because I own that song, and I wouldn't have owned it otherwise.
It seems to me if it's on the soundtrack, it must be in the movie, even if it's over the credits or something. I don't think they'd
even
include...
Even if it's like a snippet, they'll still put it in the... Credits.
Yeah, that's true. They do that a lot, where you got, well, I got 2 seconds of that. I guess technically it's in the movie. Yeah, this will be... So this is March, right? I guess this is coming out in March.
2019, yeah.
And that... And then after that, you got the fourth Avengers movie, and that's the end of the 22-movie, 10-year arc.
Oh, boy.
It's been a 10-year...
That's an arc.
Arc, yeah.
Never been done in cinema history. Give it to him. Give it to... Give
James
it to
Bond.
What has it been? 20 movies?
About one arc. James Bond are kind of like one-off.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the through line with Blofeld, but it's not...
Yeah, it's not quite the same thing. I mean, yeah, you know, you could say all those Frankenstein movies, but that's...
It's all one thing.
Jake just did...
What did he do?
What?
He just motioned an arc.
Yeah. He really did.
He's looking just like with a look on his face.
Like if you didn't know what it
was. Yeah, like he was explaining it to an idiot.
To me, it looked like the Obi-Wan thing. These are the droids you're looking for.
It was also kind of flipping, but at the same time, very condescending.
You know, an arc.
Okay, so we all like the trailer. That's it.
That's a great way to get that over with. Well, we all like the trailer.
Go see it. It comes out in March.
Go see it.
March 2019, be there.
I wish they cut her hair when she wore the other outfit. She has that short hair, that short blonde hair.
Oh, in the comic, she's got short hair. Yeah.
They show, like, when she's got the face mask on, she only has the top crop of her hair out.
Oh,
that's in the one she has the helmet on.
So we'll see what happens.
Here we go. Theme music.
Patrick?
I'm really bad at this. I'm good.
She's bailed out.
Bail out of me.
Digital movies. You're in the club.
Bum.
Is that how that goes?
You're in the club.
I don't know. It seems to change every week. You know. I used to join in, and it's like, it seems like it changes every week. So I don't know where to do the...
All right, here we go.
Every time Mario just bails out, so I'm left there just screaming.
You left Jake holding the bag.
Speaking of holding the bag.
I see.
There's a lot of bags being held in this week.
Yes, there are.
A lot of people getting robbed.
It's all a wash.
A lot of people getting robbed.
In the words of Faye Dunaway, we rob banks.
So let's go, this time let's do in chronological order.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Because they'll really lead into one another.
There's a through line, yeah.
And I feel like Magnificent Seven and Wild Bunch really bookend the 60s perfectly.
Did you do that on purpose? Because that was a good setup. It's like, here's how we begin the decade with Westerns.
Well,
here's how we end the decade with
Westerns.
I picked
up Magnificent Seven as we were already in the 60s, and I was like, this is one we should probably
do. That was a pretty good compare and contrast.
So you had never seen Magnificent
Seven. I had never seen Magnificent Seven.
Okay, let's get started there. So we're going to kick it off with, we watched Magnificent Seven, Bonnie and Clyde, and The Wild Bunch.
You betcha.
So starting off with 1960s, The Magnificent Seven, which has a 7.8 rating on IMDb. Seems like it should get more. It's directed by John Sturges, the same guy who brought us
The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Yay. A lot of the same actors. Starring Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson.
Did
you see him?
He did a great job.
Jugok.
Eli Wallach, Robert Vaughn, James Coburn, Brad Dexter. A lot of people. And introducing Horst Buchholz.
It's such a great name because it sounds like you're cursing. Horst Buchholz.
As Chico.
It's like, he's German. How does a guy like that get a name like Chico?
Yeah.
So he's a German.
Just like Chico Marx.
Buchholz.
Chico Marx.
Hey, what's the matter for you?
Hey.
Chico Marx.
What's the matter for you? So, he was a really prolific German actor. Did a lot of German TV.
Have you seen that movie, 1, 2, 3, with James Cagney? He's in that.
Yeah. Is he really?
He doesn't do too many American movies. I love how this is introducing Horst Buchholz.
Yeah, he had already been in a bunch of stuff in Germany since like the 1950s. But let's talk about this movie. What did you guys Let's start with Patrick today.
Magnificent Seven was wonderful.
You loved it.
This was a great ensemble cast.
Now, you've seen, I'm going to start with you because you and I share a love for The Seven Samurai.
Yes.
Which is one of my all-time favorites.
Which is fantastic. So it's a nice spinoff, and I've also seen the remake of Magnificent Seven.
Called A Bug's Life?
Right. No, it was called Magnificent Seven.
It's my best iteration.
How was that remake?
It was good. So it's fun. It's a little bit different.
Didn't Bug's stick Life? To the...
It's not great, but it's
pretty... Like, you get a lot of the same character motifs.
The sword guide.
Who was the old Brenner in that one?
Denzel Washington. And he was great in that movie. Mm-hmm. But everybody dies off in that one. So versus everybody. Mm-hmm. Versus this one, you get people who actually survive. That was really, I know, spoiler that's it. Like the really big difference between these two movies, but it was great ensemble cast. Yul Brynner was fantastic to see, and his accent was hilarious because he's playing a Creole Floridian cowboy, which was wonderful.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, he's got he's like Russian or something.
Yeah,
or?
He is.
It was Russian so great.
So weird.
Charles Bronson was fantastic in this, and so was Steve McQueen.
93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
This was a fantastic movie. It was a nice way to. I like that they're like a group going to protect this little Mexican pueblo, and like yes. It's just, so good.
You get two very different stereotypes of Mexicans in most Westerns. This is the very noble. Everybody speaks very poetically, kind of like almost noble savage, like you get of the Indians.
Yeah.
And then you'll see the other stereotype when we get to the Wild Bunch. But there's really no in between. They're the poor working class, and they're very very noble, almost, right? And almost childishly simple in their ways.
The one guy that is in between is the old man.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of the guy who's not either stereotype. He's kind of like the only modern sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stay out of this because I'm too.
We got the return of one of our favorite actors as the villain.
Eli Wallach.
Yes.
Like, he was so good.
He's kind of practicing for Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh,
so
my God.
Happy to see him. Yeah.
So good.
He's much less. It's much less of a fun role for him in this one. He's very.
He has a little bit of fun with it, but not to the extent he had in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He was.
That would have been awesome. They would have just thrown that character, like Tuco in charge of the whole gang.
That would have been wonderful.
Tuco in charge of 40 men.
So that's almost riffing on this one,
But I mean, all of the characters you really, really enjoyed. This was a great movie.
John, you had never seen it.
Never seen it.
And what did you think?
A lot of fun. God, to see all those guys. Like, you know, for the first time, a lot of these guys, it's their first big movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like looking at them up and going, for a lot of these guys, this is the big breakthrough.
Yeah. And then Steve McQueen, certainly. Sure.
They all sort of turn up together in other movies and other combinations. You'll say, oh, yeah, these guys ended up in Great Escape together. Mm-hmm. And these guys, you know, turn up in a couple of them turn up in the Dirty Dozen together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of fun. This is the first one. And they all have their moment to shine. I love that. As you're introducing them, they all have their moment. You know, I love when Charles Bronson's chopping the wood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
That is a great scene in...
Were you wiping the screen?
Yeah.
Was the screen
that
there?
That was in my dreams for a while.
Petting the scene.
That's a great scene in Seven Samurai because they're looking... The main samurai, the old samurai in Seven Samurai, he is the professor in the original Godzilla. That's what you would know him from.
Wow.
He's the old scientist.
Uh-huh.
And... The guy who's chopping the wood is kind of like the comic relief almost.
Yeah.
And there's a really great scene in pantomime where he's got his sword like leaning against the stump and he's chopping the wood. And these two samurai just come in, they're watching him chop the wood. They're just kind of like watching his form. And he, he's chopping the wood and then in one fluid motion, he takes the sword, which is like right in front of him, and moves it to like the other side, like out of their reach. And it's just done really, really well. And I was kind of hoping for that. So Charles Bronson isn't quite that funny character, but he does have that like that laconic kind of.
Well, he gets funny with the kids.
He's
the kids
great
are,
with the kids.
When the kids are following him around.
Well, we drew straws, and we all agreed.
Well, he
to
has that great
kind of
speech where he tells them, you know, your fathers are.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, respect
them?
Your father.
Robert.
He's like, beats the kid. Yeah,
he's like, your fathers are. You know, he's like, your fathers are brave men. They have. They shoulder, he's like, nobody asked him to shoulder this responsibility.
I love it. I never stepped up and did anything like
yeah,
that.
They do it
the way
they,
I took was easy. Yeah, yeah.
They do
yeah.
it because they love you, you know. And
they
like,
all get a moment. They all get a really a moment to shine. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So you had never seen.
I'd never seen it
hold up for you.
Particularly as you start watching, you know, later Westerns in the late 60s, you see where it went. A lot of people consider, like John Carpenter, I think, considers this like the last of the classic Westerns. It's already sort of pointing the way to a different way of doing Westerns.
Yeah.
But you could say it's the last of the classic era of Hollywood Westerns. You know, but what gives it the twist is that this is really, yeah, a remake of The Seven Samurai,
mm-hmm.
which I need to see because I've never seen The Seven Samurai.
You gotta watch it.
And I was watching the extras on the disc, and they like everybody that saw The Seven Samurai just flipped. I think James Coburn said he saw it like 12 times. He just kept bringing people to see it. I saw it, and then everybody I knew, I would take him to the theater to see it. You know?
James Coburn said he would only do it if he was offered it, and he goes, well, what part am I gonna play?
Yeah.
And they basically offered him the part that he wanted, which was. He is the counterpart to the fastest swordsman. I'll do it.
I love the bit with the knife. It was a great way to introduce him.
That's taken directly from Seven Samurai.
Well, so cool.
So yeah, good.
It's taken directly from Seven Samurai.
That's the youngest I've ever seen him, because I think he turns up in Hell is for Heroes.
Yeah.
And that's the youngest I've ever seen.
He's also
James
in
Coburn.
Great Escape.
Yeah. All these guys turn up in these, you know, these ensemble pictures all through the decade. You've got
You could see with this, John Sturges is like, I'll take you and you and you. You come with me and do Great Escape.
But Yul Brynner was so great. I mean, it's true. People go, you know, he's almost like a mystery because you go, we don't know. We have no idea.
Oh, that accent, though, really bothered me the whole time.
I love it.
Because it didn't bother me because you can't quite place what the accent is.
He just reminded me that I'm watching a movie.
Huh.
And he's an actor.
I would, you know, when I say that, I just throw that he's from New Orleans because he can be from anywhere. He could be from the Caribbean. He could be from...
Yeah, I didn't even think so much. I know they kind of refer to him as a Cajun or something, but with him, he's like... any movie he's in, it's like a question mark because he almost looks like he could be from anywhere. You know, it's kind of like Anthony Quinn. You go, well, you know... And with Anthony Quinn, he's everything. He says, I've played everything because my heritage is everything from German to Mexican to Greek to everything, you know.
And we love Anthony Quinn, don't we?
What I loved about Yul Brynner is all the quiet moments. You know, like when the kid is exploding, you know, and just like having a meltdown in the bar, and he just sits there, just smoking his cigar, just like, are you done yet?
I love how they're all sitting there watching him.
Yeah, they're all just like, I love it. They're just like, well, let him have his meltdown. We're just gonna sit here, and the best thing to do is not get involved.
Well, because they were men. He was still a boy,
exactly,
in a lot of ways, and they were men. Jake, had you seen this before?
I had not.
And what did you think?
I thought it was great. I have been catching up on school, so I didn't pay as much attention as I would have liked, but I thought...
Son of a bitch.
I know, but I thought it was great. I thought all the characters were fun, interesting, and I thought it was nice that it kind of kept the individuality. I'm trying to think of a way to word it, but they all had like their own specific reasons for wanting to stay and wanting to help.
Yes.
Whether it be for selfish reasons or they had grown fond of the people or what have you. And yeah, I thought it was good. They all had the ones who died also all had their moment for death too, which kind of came full circle.
That guy when he's like, where's the gold? There's gold, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that.
What was my cut?
How much gold?
500,000.
It made him feel better. He's like, I can't die a sucker. Tell me. He's like, okay. Yes, there was a lot of gold.
500,000. What was my cut? About 70,000.
And he's got this grin on his face like, oh, okay, now I can die happy. Like, I couldn't be doing this for nothing,
Justine?
I just want to meet them all and hug them. Aww. I love all of them.
Did you love this one?
Yes, I love this one. I love it so much.
Let me ask you this. This or Great Escape?
Maybe this one, because Great Escape played with my emotions there. Not knowing it the first time, played with my emotions.
It cuts pretty deep, yeah.
This one didn't do like a, we're really, really happy, and they did what they had to do. They didn't continue this movie where all of a sudden they got shot again.
Yeah, that's the drag with the Great Escape. It's like, oh, God,
they did it.
Oh, God.
You just get excited because they finally did what they were supposed to do, and then, but this
Nazis.
One, just all overall, beautiful movie.
Did you have any, was there anything that you didn't like, that was, you could have done without, or...
His accent bothered. Just bothered me, that's all.
That was it?
Yeah, but I mean, I accepted it. It was okay.
I keep thinking of Westworld because that's the way he looks in the Westworld movie. Yul Brynner's in it as this robot.
He's a robot?
And, oh, we're going to watch
dressed,
it.
He's dressed exactly like he was in Magnificent Seven, all black nice. With the hat.
We're going to see it.
And he plays in the Westworld movie from the 70s. He's the out-of-control robot.
Yeah.
So it's great because you see me go, hey, it's Yul Brynner from Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then he goes haywire, you know.
I love it. You're going to watch.
But I highly recommend this movie, and then I would also recommend you check out the remake because it's fun to watch both and see. So, we actually watched the first one and then the remake afterwards.
How about this?
To compare.
So the part that was weird was, did you guys see when Steve McQueen picks up the girl and puts her on the horse?
Yeah.
That whole scene, remember? And I was on the plane when I watched that, and I rewound it just to watch him do it again. He just picks up the girl, lifts her, turns her, puts her on the horse. And she's like, what?
Yeah, that wasn't. That was an odd little scene.
It's when they find her.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe she wasn't ready.
That was, and it's interesting that that was. She must have been really light because that was a hell of a thing. Picks her up, turns her around, throws her on the horse. I'm going, wow.
Like, what?
How many times did they practice that? Yeah.
Steve McQueen's great.
Or Steve McQueen's way stronger than he looks.
Steve McQueen's growing on me, but Charles Bronson, I'm in love with.
Too bad we're not going to watch Bullet. If you get a chance, watch Bullet. It's pretty much it's a 60s cop movie. It has one of the like most iconic chase scenes ever, but it's pretty much I just spit all over the mic. Huge, like a huge wad.
And you know what? That is the big Steve McQueen movie.
That is a huge and it basically sets the template for all the 70s cop movies that come, like Dirty Harry.
It's pre-Dirty Harry,
which we're
going to
watch. It kind of sets the template.
Maybe there's a way. Is there a way we can rope that in?
We can watch Bullet. I mean, we can throw that in there.
McQueen's just growing on me, but I'm not a huge fan yet.
What did you think of this score, by the way?
It was nice.
Loved it. They did a great job.
Right? This is like...
It's just like you're like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
This could be a video game.
This is typical... Like, when I think of a Western, like, it's like, man, we're on the plains. We're riding around.
That's as iconic as The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, that's the flip side. You know, when you're thinking of Westerns, those are the two you're thinking of. Yeah,
I love this movie.
Yeah.
It was great.
I love when they're like, where's the kid? Oh, I don't know. I lost him a while ago.
What about...
And he caught all the fish.
Yeah.
Smack right in the face with the fish. Oh.
Because he was a farmer.
Yeah.
By the way, one person that... I'll tell you who gets a really great moment is when Robert Vaughn is having those nightmares.
Oh,
and he wakes
up
like screaming.
Yeah.
And you realize why he doesn't want to kill. He's got he's basically got like PTSD.
And Ethan Hawke did a good job of that too.
Yeah, did
in,
he?
In the remake.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, yeah, he was really.
You know what? I kind of.
You haven't seen it?
I don't remember all of that. I did, but we went to the drive-in. Nicole and I found a drive-in.
Really?
Out in Pomona. And we're like, we haven't gone to the drive-in in a long time. Let's go see. I go, what better movie to see it than at the drive-in? And I think there's.
You guys were too busy making out.
That, and there was like a 20-mile hike to the bathroom in pitch black. So I think that might have been. There was a couple times where I had
you
to
missed.
Like. We went to the snack bar. Then
watch
we
it again.
The,
yeah, he does. He does a great
it's
job.
It's all over. Watch. It's on Netflix. It's on Amazon.
It's on a lot of things. Right
so
now.
It is worth checking out. Though.
Yes, it's
so,
definitely worth it.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt plays Steve McQueen's character. Then they got an Asian guy playing.
Oh, the Asian guy.
He's really great in that.
He's so hot. That one. You gotta change your panties for that one. You gotta pack some, guys. If there's any girl that's gonna watch that movie, just pack extra panties.
I'll have a spare when I watch
him,
it.
Him with his hair. Mm.
You're gonna have to put that on a soundbite.
But I looked him up though, like other movies he's been in. He just needs that long hair. I don't know.
Denzel Washington in that one really makes that movie.
Yeah, he does a.
Oh, so
he's
good.
So cool.
And Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
He's playing. Which character is he playing? He's the guy with the knife, right?
One is the Asian guy.
Doesn't he have a dynamite? Isn't he like a dynamite guy in this one? I don't remember.
He's dynamite!
Dynamite!
And Jimmy Walker was the dynamite guy. And
temporary layoffs. Good times.
Easy credit ripoff.
Good times.
Aren't we happy we got him?
Ain't we lucky we got him?
Good times.
That was good times.
Yes, we're moving on up.
Move to the east side?
To a deluxe apartment.
Where?
In the sky.
Oh. Where are we doing?
We're moving on up.
Well, you know, John.
Segway.
Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill.
Now we're in the big leagues.
Getting our turn at bat.
Yeah.
As long as we live, it's you and me, Sandy. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
So let's see now. So if we see that movie, we have to pack, what'd you say, brand new?
Brand new chummies brand new of your panties. Girl.
I see. Okay. What's the Daffy Duck line? Girls, hang on to your boyfriends.
Good time.
Anytime you meet a payment.
Good time.
Anytime you need a friend.
Good time.
Anytime you're out from under. Not getting hassled. Not getting hustled. Keeping your head above water. Making a wave when you can. Temporary layoffs.
Good times.
Easy credit ripoffs.
Good times.
Scratching and surviving.
Good times.
Hanging in a chow line.
Good times.
Aren't we lucky we have them?
Aren't.
That is...
Is that Richard Cheese?
It's Richard Cheese, yeah.
Did he do one of all TV things?
No, but he did that one.
God.
God, how great is
what
that?
What happened to Richard Cheese? K-Rock used to play him all the time.
How great is that?
Wow, that's crazy.
Aren't we lucky we I know. Have them?
Are not we lucky we... Jeez.
God, that was a great show.
Yeah.
On all the time.
They're watching it. I think they run it an hour every day. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Let's move on. So, let's get our rankings for Magnificent Seven.
I know, everyone. We really took a U-turn on that.
Justine, let's start with you. Wait, what was your ranking on this one?
9.5.
Wow! Wow. 9.5 for Magnificent Seven.
Well, well, well.
I love it.
Patrick.
This is a 9 for me.
9.
It just makes me happy when you think about it. You tell me, like, Magnificent Seven, and I'm just happy. So.
Wow.
Yeah, she,
look,
you know,
at the smile on her
we
face.
Really,
yeah,
we
it really,
really
makes me happy.
We really found some movies for Justine. Yeah. It was a whole...
Mm-hmm. Gave her a whole new
she
genre.
She would have just been watching Little Mermaid over and over.
I'm just stuck in this loop.
It's just a loop
you
of
know what?
Disney
That's
movies.
That's not your fault. That's anybody. That's really anybody. You like stuff that you like, and yeah. Unless someone shows
it
you
It takes
something,
a little... Yeah, you have to like break out of mm-hmm. your bubble, yeah.
Jake?
I give it 8.5.
8.5, and that's not even paying attention.
That's not even paying attention. I know. I feel
and
like
he watched it.
I do need to
it a 10.
I do need to watch it again. I'll probably.
Dude, it happened.
Oh, it's yeah. So good.
Some of these, like I watched. I sat and watched Bonnie and Clyde, and I sat and watched Wild Bunch. I don't do Wild Bunch in segments, and Magnificent Seven. I kind of had on in the background, but I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
You know. But what do you got? What do you got?
I give it an 8. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a good one. I really like.
This is an 8 for me.
Yeah.
This is an 8 just because of everybody.
Everybody's great in it, yeah.
And everybody gets a moment.
Yeah.
And John Sturges really does well with these huge ensemble casts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is just the warm-up for The Great Escape, you know?
It was definitely nice, though, that like everybody got their moment. You don't have anybody who's overshadowed by anybody else. Mm-hmm. It worked really, really
And Kurosawa really does that with Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
But that's a three-hour movie, you know, so everybody kind of has their time, you know, and this is a little more compact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
And I guess Kurosawa liked this movie a lot. He said, I don't want to get into comparisons. I just think this is a great Western.
He loved Westerns. Yeah. He basically based... You know, all of his samurai movies were based on American Westerns.
Isn't that funny? So it's, my God, it's like, so he likes John Ford movies.
So he's copying John Ford. Sergio Leone's copying him.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino's copying, you know.
You got about 4 different people that are, it's really fun to see that everybody's sort of like doing their version. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like John Ford's there first, you
yeah.
know.
You know, and like, I think there's that question of someone asked... Orson Welles, like when, you know, as a director, who do you...
Yeah, the three big ones.
He said, I follow the old masters, John Ford, and John Ford. So,
yeah.
Let's go on to another... this is a very controversial movie when it was released in 1967. And this, in a lot of ways, ushered the modern era of violence into modern cinema. And it's Bonnie and Clyde. From 1967, starring we got Warren Beatty, we got Faye Dunaway, we got Gene Hackman,
a very young
Gene Hackman, Gene Hackman already looking 50.
Yeah, I know. Right? He's probably like, what, 30?
I know, yes. That kind of confused me. I'm like, wait, he's young. No, he's not.
Still the same.
I'm so confused.
I think he came out of the womb looking like that. Yeah.
And you get a very young Gene Wilder for very quick.
For like two
I know
minutes.
He looked like a little baby compared to how I usually see him. It's like big old chubby cheeks and everything. I'm like, oh, wow.
I think that's his first movie.
And directed by Arthur Penn. He directed a lot of other movies, most notably The Miracle Worker before this, the story of Helen Keller. Let's talk about it. What did you guys think of this one? Let's start with Jacques.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
It's crazy.
It's so absolutely ridiculous how Clyde is just like, hey, how's it going? I steal from banks for a living. You're like, oh. What's even crazier is how she was like in awe of him, despite her's like, yeah, I steal banks for a living. Here, look, I can use this gun. Immediately goes and like steals from them.
She was out for a thrill. She was bored.
Yeah.
She was bored.
She wanted something new.
Yeah. A lot of this was made up. There's a lot of, obviously, they're trying to find a reason for, you know, I guess Clyde's impotence is the reason that he does, that he can't. But
I love all those shots. There's all these shots of her caressing his gun. It's like, oh, that's kind of subtle.
That's not a euphemism.
Which in real life, apparently, none of that was true.
Also, if you've ever seen a picture of the real Bonnie and Clyde, they do not look like Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
No, they do not. They look like people that you would expect.
Exactly.
Would like
not movie star looks, yeah.
In the middle of the 20s.
That's a shame.
I know. It's mind-blowing how beautiful Faye Dunaway was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know?
And this is really a first. This is one of the first movies, I think, that. Let me ask you this, Jake, as a modern, someone who, a modern viewer, did some of the editing, did any of that bother you? The way they do. This is one of the first movies we see with a lot of, tricks in the editing
quick
and things
cutting,
like quick cutting.
Yeah.
And it's not quite the art form that it becomes later on. Did any of that bother you, or did that take you out of it at all?
Not anything that was jarring or anything. At least not that I noticed. It wasn't.
But you were into the story right away.
Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun. Super interesting.
Yeah. Very violent.
Can't describe it. Very violent. I was surprised when they do their first getaway. And end up shooting the guy right in the head. I'm like, holy shit.
You're like, what year is this?
Yeah, I'm like, oh my
67?
God.
Because, again, you just watched Magnificent Seven where people are kind of doing the and falling over.
Yeah,
and
no blood.
Yeah, no. Well, or it's the later on. You don't see the blood. But this is like just squibs going off and it's like people getting shot in the face and in the eye. And
yeah, this one's bad.
There's a lot of people getting shot in the eyeball in this movie.
Clyde's brother?
Yeah.
And then
well,
her,
the gets, girl.
Or, yeah, the sister-in-law.
Very
Bonnie?
End, very end.
Yeah.
No, that's not her name.
No, Clyde's brother's
Blanche.
Wife.
Blanche.
Blanche.
Fucking Blanche.
What was the actress's name?
Estelle Parsons.
Oh, that's what it is. There's a whole...
She won an Oscar. Pretty much screams through the whole movie.
Yeah.
She gets the Oscar, yeah.
Blanche! Blanche!
Yeah. I love how Bonnie's all, get her out of the car. I can't take it anymore.
She was starting to drive me crazy.
Let me ask you a question. Were you rooting for Bonnie and Clyde? This is what I'm going to ask everyone. Were you rooting for or against? Did you kind of want to see him get away with it?
You got to root for him.
Did you kind of want to see him? I wish they would have done it the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid style and just gone like it's a freeze frame, like maybe they made it.
Maybe they made it.
They got 100,000 bullet holes in them. Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde.
They enjoyed doing the.
That was brutal too. They show all like the bullets.
Yeah.
And they're reacting.
It's like a 10-minute scene of them. It's like.
That was at least 30 seconds of gunfire.
I think Francis Ford Coppola, when he was making The Godfather, saw that and said,
I can do better.
I can do better, yeah.
I thought they got killed in the car.
They did.
In real life, right?
In real life, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted
to. By the way, there's a great recurring joke on Mystery Science Theater. Anytime they show like a junk car or whatever, they'll go, Bonnie and Clyde's death car. Because that's an actual, like.
That's right. They did a tour.
They did a tour.
They said, see Hitler's automobile. See Bonnie and Clyde's death car. It's like, and they go on a tour. Somebody bought that.
Yeah.
They're going, oh, yeah, a lot of bullet holes. That's it. They just go on tour. Bonnie and Clyde's death car.
That should be a name of a band.
It really should.
Bonnie and Clyde's death car.
Or a podcast. So you're welcome for that. Future podcast.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Let's go, Justine. What did you think of Bonnie and Clyde?
I hate this movie.
Did you really?
And I hate that you made me watch it.
Wow. You just never know what you're going to get with Justine.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing I ever sat through. I don't get how.
So much.
Here,
fun.
I'll say this. How did we get Casablanca to that?
I had a great time.
Like, it went in reverse.
One
it
step
looked
at
like
a
home Wonderful video. Movie. I was so mad.
Why were you. Okay, wait.
It looked like a home video.
It was. It was like a home video. It was all grainy. And then.
Fine.
Interesting. Great.
And then she can't act.
Stylized.
She can't act.
She Faye Dunaway can't act.
No, she can't act.
Well, she's my sister. We'll do
oh,
that.
Oh, my God.
Let's not. But
you mean you're.
Not, yeah, not
Maybe
not.
She acts better later, but in this movie.
This Maybe movie, she acts better later, I'll like her, but not the...
No, this one, I was like, what? They're like, oh, yeah, go and pout now. She's like, you can sell when she has to do an emotion for something. It made me so mad. I hated this movie. I watched like the first 20 minutes and I was like, do we have to continue this?
Yes.
But what was bothering, was it the acting that was bothering you or was it?
It was her acting, the way it looked. I just didn't understand.
I just wanted him to open his mouth, like instead of clenching his teeth, talking the whole time.
How many times? How many times?
Because he's always got a match in it. He can't let the match fall out,
And it was just like,
it is stylized.
How did we do this movie that looks like Magnificent Seven to this? Or how did we any movie
it's
come
also,
to this?
It's also Magnificent Seven was MGM, that very polished, a lot of money.
This one reminded me of Them. Like a older, like the way they filmed everything kind of seemed like that movie Them.
They were probably trying, it
in
seems
color.
To me that they're trying to make it look less slick. I mean, it's beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but you're seeing the film grain.
Yeah.
I guess that's because you're used to seeing digital, because it used to be you would see the film grain.
That is exactly why I was asking. That's kind of what I was getting at with Jake. Like, did anything about the way this movie is made? Because it is shot in a particular way, and we haven't really seen this style of movie yet. But it is prevalent in the 60s.
Right.
There's a lot more. Planet of the Apes, in a lot of ways, is kind of like that.
They don't want it to look Hollywood, so they're doing a lot of tricks.
And that's what I was trying to get out with Jake. Yeah. And so it didn't bother Jake, but it did bother Justine.
Yes.
Interesting.
And I hated the acting.
Some of us are a little
more
shy. What
about Gene Hackman?
Between Gene Hackman was good.
What about Gene Wilder?
He was okay.
What about Gene Krupa?
Who's that?
You got 2 hours? Because Mario will tell you.
Honestly, he showed up and I was oh my God, the movie might be better now.
Yeah.
You know,
it
still
sucks.
It's interesting that now that you mention it, the acting is stylized. That's not like exactly.
Everybody's kind of doing a Cagney.
Yeah.
Compared to like what we've seen, I'm just surprised this movie got made like that. It looks horrible.
It was hugely controversial. It made a lot of money, mostly because it was violent. But people couldn't agree whether or not it was a good movie.
No, it's not.
And the critics, it's funny, originally most of the critics hated it and just thought the violence was just too over the top and too crazy. And then some people revisited it. There's a couple critics that went back like a couple weeks later and watched it again and said, okay, I'm getting something I didn't get the first time. You know, it's like
7.9 on IMDb. Let's look at
the acting,
Rotten
the writing,
Tomatoes.
It's just...
I like the way Patrick is looking at me.
You didn't like the fact that Bonnie was just like fawning over Clyde the whole time? Literally trying to rip his pants off. He's like, no.
I'm not one of those lover boys.
Yeah. And then when he finally does perform, he's like, why wasn't I doing this earlier?
Hey, that was a lot of fun, huh?
Did I do it right? Was it good? Like,
89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Was it as good for me as it was for you?
It's funny because it's like, you're Warren Beatty.
And you know what? I've never seen Warren Beatty that young before. And he looked pretty good. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he looked real good,
the way he looks now, and I didn't realize him and Gene Wilder and Gene Hackman were around that same age, maybe.
Yeah.
I was like, he aged really well then, Warren Beatty.
Yeah, he looks like a younger version of Dick Tracy in this movie.
Oh, I love Dick Tracy.
There you go.
See, there you go.
That's interesting.
It's weird that
you like Dick Tracy, but that's it's a comic strip. It's supposed to be stylized. Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting.
Patrick.
No, his acting was fine. His little...
You just didn't like Faye Dunaway.
Her acting was horrible.
That's pretty early for her. She was a model, wasn't she?
I think so.
It seemed like it was like her first movie watching it. I was like,
this is like her second movie. Yeah. And people didn't know who she was,
she
think,
great.
Really.
It felt like the director was like, okay, and then now you're sad. She's like, okay. Like, it's like all sad. It just looked weird.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It is stylized.
It's what directors do.
It's
Dorothy Faye Dunaway is an American actress. She has won an Academy Award, 3 Golden Globes, a BAFTA, an Emmy, and was the first recipient of the Leopard Club Award that honors professionals whose work has left a mark on the collective imagination.
I think we have a caller.
Have you seen Network? Okay, because Network.
Monty Gearest?
Well, no. You'll say, God, what terrible acting. Network is the one where you go, holy shit, she is a good actress, you know?
Chinatown?
It just seemed like it was her first movie or something. Well, it was horrible.
But are we going to see Network?
I don't know. Maybe we'll add it in. Maybe we'll add it
in. I just watched it a couple weeks ago, and she really, that's probably the best thing she ever did. Yeah.
Patrick? Crazy.
This was a slog.
So the two of you were hating it together.
Yeah. I got to get to John. We haven't gotten to John.
I like the motifs, and I like what they were trying to do, and I do appreciate that this was a huge departure from what they've done in movies previous, and like the violence was definitely there, but just the story, the acting, and the way it was edited, it just killed it for me. Ugh. I couldn't get past the way, like, any time they would be in the car, they'd speed up the car, they'd play the stupid soundtrack, and it just...
She's, like, turning the wheel the wrong way when they're turning, and I'm like...
It was just...
It's a European car.
Oh, my God.
It was definitely... They were just over the top, and it didn't do anything for me. And I like that they're trying to humanize them and give them real life problems and, you know, make it more something that, but you can tell like they were just making it up as they went.
I think the best actor in this movie was probably the kid.
Oh, C.W. Moss.
Yeah. Just like, because when you see him at the window and he's like, yes, they got away. You're like, oh.
And actually, he's
kid.
The one that seems natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
a dopey character, but he seems but like he's natural.
Dopey. Honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's a guy
good
playing.
Actor.
Yeah.
I think he's a good actor.
I couldn't get past them and just what they were trying to do.
I love
killed it.
It
for me.
Yeah, this is a divisive one. I love it.
Yeah. My favorite
always,
movie.
It always has been. Yeah, best movie ever.
John, what did you think? What do you think of this movie?
It's never been one of my favorites. I watched it just last night just to make sure I was up to speed for today. I don't hate it, but I see everything Justine's saying. It's an odd. It's staged odd. It's the acting's kind of stylized and over the top sometimes. It's they're trying for something. I don't know that they always succeed. There's some really artsy stuff going on when they have that picnic with her mom.
Yeah.
And they're all sitting around. That's all shot like in soft focus, like it's like a European film, you know?
Yeah.
I know that they're trying for something. It just doesn't always, I don't think they always pull it off. But this is definitely groundbreaking. I mean, you can see where 100 movies follow in the wake of Bonnie and Clyde. Mm-hmm. And not just for the violence. There's a lot of things they try in this movie that everyone just sort of takes the ball and runs with.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, it's just not one of my favorites.
But I
don't hate it, you know.
Yeah, it's like a Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid situation.
Oh, I love that. I wouldn't mind watching them go boom, 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 boom.
Now here's the thing: a couple weeks ago we were talking about like period pictures, you know, all the movies that have done this time period.
Yeah.
And so when I see something like Bonnie and Clyde, it makes me appreciate how good Paper Moon is.
Yes.
Because they really bring it down a couple notches and make it much more naturalistic. Nobody's over the top. They're just really trying to make it look like just a slice of life. And so, you know, with this thing with the banjos, the Foggy Mountain breakdown and all that stuff every time they're chasing, it just kind of, they lay a little on kind of thick, you know?
Yeah, I don't feel it's as a period piece, I don't feel like I never feel when I'm watching this movie that I'm watching a movie that it's in the 30s.
No.
Or could have been in the 30s.
God, no.
No.
I'm watching a movie. It's like those it's like those Philip Marlowe movies from the 70s.
Right.
Elliot Gould, you never buy him as...
Well, like that's a whole different story.
Yeah, you know. But they
like those Robert Mitchum ones. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you never buy that you're in a, you know...
The Elliot Gould one is supposed to be the 70s, and they said they shot it like... Philip Marlowe woke up and all of a sudden it's the 70s. But those Robert Mitchum ones, like Farewell My Lovely and The Big Sleep, you go, I'm not buying this as the 30s at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you never quite buy it with this one, you know. It's a nice attempt, but you always go, oh, no, this is 67
exactly.
for sure.
Yeah. Whereas with Paper Moon, which we'll get to, I always feel like that. And maybe it's because it's in black and white.
You know, somebody watching them side by side just go, oh, this is the other way you can do it. You take it way down.
Mm-hmm.
And no stylization, black and white, really make it seem
I
like
I think
you're
if
just...
they would have done it more realistically along, and then the violence would have been more jarring. Like that ending
would have
really...
Yeah, if this had been like black and white, it would have changed the whole movie. Yeah.
But the thing is, it is Bonnie and Clyde, so that is the story. They went out, you know, robbing banks and shooting people up. And that's probably at the time they said, well, let's really do it. That's why it was groundbreaking at the time. They said, let's really show it. Instead of people clutching their stomachs and keeling over, let's really show what it's like for a couple of these. And also they're showing you how they've got no prospects. That's the one thing they do get across. If you're in the middle of the country, in the middle of the Depression, you're broke, there is nothing to do, no job prospects. Nope. They painted that pretty clear.
Yeah, they
that
did.
She's got a life. That's the thing that really worked is when he goes, you've got, he called it. He says, you're just every day you get up, you work at the diner. This is what you're looking at for the rest of your life, you know? And at least we can go out with a bang, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's why she does it.
But not one of my favorites. But I didn't hate it. So I guess I give it like a, you know, like a 6.5.
You, Jake, you give it an 8?
That's 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah.
Justine.
0.
Wow.
I really was pissed off. Our first I had to continue 0. This. I would have just stopped at the first 20 minutes. I would have just been like,
I gotta hand it to you that you stuck with it. You always stick with the movie.
I wanted to tell him, like, sorry.
You
know,
watching it together?
Yeah.
So you were in misery together.
Yes.
Misery loves company.
I give this a 3.
Yeah.
That's the lowest thing I've ever
read. This is about a 6 for me. This is a, like, it's along with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think I like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid better.
Oh my God,
just,
yes.
Like we always talk about the music, it always just misses.
Yeah. Actually, I'll give it a 1 because I wanted that car afterwards.
After it was shot up?
Yeah, I was like, that's cool. I wonder if they trashed it. I would totally want to see it.
Bonnie and Clyde's death car.
I'll give it a
1 because I wanted that afterwards.
Wow, some redeeming.
I give the car a 1.
Let's put the movie in there with it.
I mean, the ending was great. I like that they, you know, shot up the car and that took like a whole 30 seconds. Like they took the time to do it. That part was great.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the movie could not be saved.
You do get a young Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard.
Denver Pyle.
I feel bad spending the $3 I did to rent this movie.
Oh, see? Please send $3 to you.
Like
but you know,
refund.
This is the first guy that we've seen in the movies you've shown me that's pretty.
What?
He's really pretty.
Oh, yeah, Warren Beatty.
He's so,
yeah.
Like,
he's a pretty
he
boy,
looks
yeah.
like Hollywood and just... Yeah.
And that's
pretty.
The way it always was with him.
And I think all the movies you've shown me, I've read online that they're part of the tough guys.
Robert Redford in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid was not pretty.
Not compared to Warren Beatty.
No, yeah, this
Warren
is, yeah.
Beatty.
Warren Beatty has like this smooth face, this dark hair, dark
perfect
eyes,
teeth.
Mm-hmm. Perfect teeth. He was just gorgeous, but it's really pretty.
But not enough to bring it up to a two.
And I like...
No.
And I mean, and you're showing me like Charles Bronson, and he's so cool. And like this
it's
buff
so funny
guy.
It's funny because you look
Charles Bronson doesn't need a gun.
You look at their faces, and it's two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Because Charles Bronson used to say, what do you say? He says, my face looks like you blew up some granite.
Yeah.
You know, and it all just sort of...
He looks like he's like done some work.
He has. You know, he was like a coal miner.
Oh, wow.
He said, acting...
Oh, really?
You could see it in his voice.
I think he grew up like in the coal mines. Like his whole family went into the coal mines. And he said, acting always seemed like the easiest thing, no matter if it was an action film and he's doing a lot of physical stuff. He said, this is the easiest work I've ever had in my life because I used to go down in the coal mines. So he says...
I mean, who would you be scared of if you saw both of them?
Well, of course.
Warren...
I'd be like nervous around Bronson.
So that's why when
Beatty,
I see Warren
like,
Beatty, I'm like, oh, he has a gun. It's how he gets away with everything just because he has
the other
a
great
gun.
Thing Charles Bronson said is, I think he enjoyed all the action films and stuff, but he said, you know, it'd be cool at least once to have a film where I'm in a tux leaning on a mantle with a cocktail. He says, but, you know, you don't really, my movie roles are not really that.
Yeah. Warren Beatty was too pretty. He's like a pretty boy.
Wow. Bronson was 11 of 15 children.
Wow.
In a Roman Catholic family of Lithuanian descent in Aaronfield, Pennsylvania.
He does look Lithuanian.
Was I right about the coal mines?
Yeah, his father died when he was 10, and he went to work in the coal mines. He worked in the mine until he entered military service during World War II. His family was so poor at one time, he had to wear his sister's dress to school for lack of clothing.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you can understand that for him, people go on about how hard acting is, and it's like, no, this is the easiest work I've ever had, you know.
Wow, he flew 25 missions as a gunner on a B-29.
No kidding.
Wow.
And received a Purple Heart for wounds received in battle.
Wow, now that I did not know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those guys were
little hearts just formed in my eyes.
Justine heard coal miner, and she's like, oh.
I know.
Oh, working man. And then army. Oh. and a vet.
Are you getting the vapors?
I see him with that wood right now, chopping it down.
Hey, here you go.
There you go.
John, he later shared an apartment in New York City with Jack Klugman while both were aspiring to play on the stage.
Wow! There you go. That is the coolest! How cool is that?
There you go, man.
That's right up there with Marlon Brando and Wally Cox. We're roommates. That's not a joke.
How is that? So yeah. Weird.
Underdog and Stanley Kowalski.
Let's move on to...
They got to do The Odd Couple with Charles Bronson and Jack
Klugman. Oh, my God.
Who's the song? Wait, Charles Bronson's in The Odd Couple?
No. We're making a joke. Because Jack Klugman was in The Odd Couple.
I got so excited for this.
You'd automatically rate it a 10.
What is it, Felix? Is it the cooking, the cleaning, the crying?
Mario said we're not really going to see Charles Bronson anymore, right?
After this, no. That's
like a dropout.
We move away from him in the 70s.
And I already saw his other movies.
Okay. On your own, you should check out one called Hard Times, where he's a bare-knuckle boxer.
I have to watch that and Death Wish.
Well, Death Wish is really depressing, so be careful.
I watched
also
Mechanic.
After. Oh, what'd you think?
I loved that.
Okay.
That was all great. Right.
Yeah, check out Hard Times. He's a bare-knuckle boxer in the Depression. Mm. And
I believe it.
You're going to dig it.
Yeah,
you're
going to
dig it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would believe it because I mean, exactly. It doesn't look like he's acting. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, he probably
was.
It's
not Warren Beatty in the ring.
Yeah.
Let's move on to The Wild Bunch, 1969, directed by Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, boy.
This has a all-star cast. William Holden, Ernest Borgnine. We've seen a lot of these guys before. The great Robert Ryan, who was the bad guy in... Bad Day at Black Rock.
But I know. I was like, where's his baseball hat?
But I love him. But I love him in this as Deke Thornton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, this is a great all-star cast. And you see Ernie Borgs. We get to see Ernie Borgs.
Ernie.
And
hey, Warren Oates.
Yeah, Warren Oates.
And Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson. Did you notice the older brother was our buddy from Mighty Joe Young?
No.
The older brother was our pal.
The Gorch brothers.
The Gorch brothers. And a great supporting cast of just guys who always turn up as like hicks and kooks in all of these.
Edmund O'Brien. Holy cow, just about steals the movie.
Edmund O'Brien as the, we last saw him as the general in Fantastic Voyage. And this one he's doing his best Walter Brennan, like old coot.
Or Walter Houston. Yeah. That, you're so stupid, you don't even know how stupid you are.
Stole a bunch of steel holes.
I love the spittle, the beard with the spittle stains.
Like the microphone today. All right. The Wild Bunch, this is where we're bookending the 60s with, we're seeing where the 60s started with Westerns and where they end.
Mm.
And this is really a story about the end of Western period, of the Wild West period, because it takes place in 1913.
I love when they see the car, they're like, what the hell is that?
I heard there was one flying.
You're making that up.
Saw one in Waco once.
Nope, you could get 6 miles in an hour.
So, John, let's start with you on this one. Mm-hmm. You'd seen this before, obviously.
Yeah, I've seen it many times.
And what do you think?
It holds up. It's great. Because it's not just about the violence. That ending is just crazy. But that's, you know, there's so much going on before that. It seems like that's all anybody wanted to talk about when it came out, I think. Was that big bloodbath at the end? And it is a bloodbath. It's almost just insane.
Holy shit.
Yeah. You can almost see like a young Quentin Tarantino in the back row going, hey.
You mean, that's pretty cool.
I like this.
I want to be a movie director.
Yeah.
Just but, a giant smile just across his chest.
There's a hell of a lot going on before that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they really go deep with all the characters and what's going on. I don't think Sam Peckinpah gets that kind of credit.
No.
This is really a character study.
Especially with Pike, played by William Holden.
Yeah.
He's tortured because you find out that he left.
Yeah.
You think Deke Thornton kind of turned on him, but he didn't.
Right.
He left, everybody thinks that.
Yeah. You know? Never thought he'd turn.
Yeah.
And it's like he has those flashbacks, and he's like, nope, I jumped out the window. You got caught by the cops.
Yeah. And now they put me to work for you. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, God, you see that scene where he's getting whipped, and he's like, I am never going back.
Yeah.
You can see why he's doing this. He's like, but I love that he's stuck with these hicks and inbreds and hillbillies. And he just keeps going, you got to get me some good men. No, you got what you got and make it happen. You got 20 days now. He's all
24 days.
He's all, you're expecting him to say, I'd be better off with the Marx Brothers. These guys are half wits and nitwits,
Don't shoot at the army.
I love it. It's shot beautifully. Oh. It's a great story. Yeah. Even the beginning is so crazy. All those, you know, innocent bystanders getting slaughtered. Mm-hmm. So basically, at the beginning, it's bookended because at the beginning, it's like,
at the beginning, too, you have no idea what's going on. You're just like, okay, there's these army dudes. You're walking into town. What the hell's going on?
The thing is, so Peckinpah from the very beginning, while you're seeing the credits, he's going to tell you exactly what the tone of the movie is. He's got a bunch of kids torturing some scorpions with fire ants.
Yeah.
And they're all like grinning and like, hey, this is fun. You know, and they burn the whole the whole nest. And it's like, okay, this is the world you're stepping into. You know, no mercy and nobody's safe. And the innocents are just another, you know.
And then at the end, when you have Angel being dragged, they're riding him like a horse. And they're doing all that.
And these guys are just all, we've got to get him out of there. It's just like, you could just see William Holden's eyes like, ah. What kind of men are we that we leave him to this guy?
And they come back,
And I just love how they didn't even have to say anything. He's all, well, let's go. And they're like, They've all had their...
You just said, right when they walk out of the whorehouse, you see Ernest Borgnine's face just light up.
I know, he's been whittling.
And he just grabs his gun and he's going to go.
Because they're like, this wasn't fun. What we really want to do is get Angel out of there, you know?
That's kind of crazy that the baby was in that room, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that just...
It kind of shows you. And the look on his face is like, what did I just do?
I know.
Jesus Christ.
That was pretty deep, seeing that part.
That was really a hell of a scene. He's all, what the hell can I do? And he gives her, like, whatever that amount was. And it's just all, it's like, not enough. No. Whatever I'm leaving her, it's not enough. And I can't take that back. Her baby's sitting there the whole time, you know?
Well, it also brings us some interesting questions about morality and... These are obviously bad men and they've killed people, but there's still a sense of like, there's a code. And
how about that scene where he goes, he gave his word. He's all, but that doesn't matter. It's who you give it to. Yeah, that's what matters.
Exactly.
That's really the big scene when Ernest Borgnine says, it's not he gave his word. It's like, who did you give your word to? You know?
Yeah. It was nice to see him act because in The Greatest, or not The Great Escape,
Dirty Dozen.
Dozen. He has such a small part in it, so it's nice to see him again.
He's just laughing all the time.
And we haven't gotten to see any William Holden stuff. William Holden, a great actor, big star in the 50s. And
huge.
This was kind of, I read like a critical review at the time that said that he's been making boring movies for years, so it's kind of nice. He looks bored. He's been in boring movies.
Yeah, because after Bridge on the River Kwai, I think there's a lot of stuff that's not great.
Like Sabrina and stuff like that.
He's pretty young in Sabrina. As a matter of fact, he's the pretty boy in Sabrina. It's kind of funny. Well, he starts off as sort of like a pretty...
We didn't get to watch Sunset Boulevard, but that's one that needs to be watched.
Sunset Boulevard and Stalag 17, I think, is when everybody said, oh, man, this guy can act.
Oh, you might like Stalag 17. It's basically takes place in a POW camp in World War II, and William Holden, who was Pike in this one...
A very young William Holden.
And the... do you remember who the... There's a traitor. Do you remember who it is? Yeah.
Peter Graves.
Yeah.
I love it. I love how William Holden's all, Sprechen Sie Deutsch. I think you will love Stalag 17.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Okay, World War II. You're going to love it.
We didn't get into it, but there's so many movies we missed.
But you know what's crazy is I think in The Wild Bunch, I looked him up. I think he's like 50. He already looks like he's 75 in The Wild Bunch. I think he did a lot of drinking and... my God, he's like 50, and he already looks like an old man.
But
in
man,
a wild
he
bunch.
Really just yeah. everybody in this movie just really does a lot great with the roles that they have. You know, the because like the Gorge brothers could have been, and they're kind of like these
they're the comic relief. But because it's Warren Oates and Ben Johnson, I mean, you know, they add a dimension. They're not just half wits. You know,
I love that scene because I want to know what this means when he. Throws it when Edmund O'Brien goes, he's gonna go. Obviously, he's gonna go. You know, squat. He's gonna go, and they throw the dynamite at him.
And
he says, he says something like, "You better hope I don't decide to dog you after this is all done." And then Ben John says, "Don't you try to dry gulch me, old man." It's like, what is dry gulching?
I know.
What
does that mean? That sounds filthy. What the hell are you talking about?
It's very filthy.
The other great line is when they open up the bags and they're all rings of silver. No, it's washers. We just risked our lives for a bag full of holes. And finally, they just start laughing, like, oh, what are you going to do? You know, we're fucked. You know?
Jake.
Yes.
What are your initial thoughts on this movie?
It's brutal. It's all fucking hell.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, especially, within the first 5 minutes, you know, people getting shot in the head. This guy's shooting up innocent civilians that he was holding as captive. Just, like...
And not like just shooting, like shotgun.
No, like blew
spray.
Them out.
Yeah.
This one had blood. The blood.
A lot of blood.
Flying off of them, though.
Yeah.
Especially that last scene with the machine gun. Holy shit.
Just laying waste to
people
everybody.
Keep grabbing it. Three different people grab that machine gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's down. Now I got
it. And you get the awesome machine gun scream by Warren Oates. Actually does the, yeah! Which I would do.
With like, the teeth. He's got the teeth.
Yeah.
And you really feel for Russ Thornton?
Yes.
You really feel for him because he just does not want to go back, and he's like, "I'm gonna make this happen, or I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill you."
Well, and then that ending is so great because he just waits. He's just sitting. He's like, he's not gonna go back. And then here comes the old man.
He knows they got caught.
And he's like, what does the old man say? He goes, well, it's not the old days, but me and the boys here. And he's got the old man for the village.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like they're gonna go. They're gonna go like they've got guns. Mm-hmm. They're gonna go kick some ass. I love it. Yep. And they're just gonna like go raid. So.
I know. It's like he's got it's like the one guy that survives is Edmund O'Brien. He's like, yeah, the bunch goes on. Now you're back in the fold. You know? It's like old times. You know?
I love it. So, and the violence, I think, is pretty, it's still shocking.
Extreme.
I think.
It's crazy.
Well, it's not even the fact that it's, you know, there's the violence and the blood. It's just on the scale that it is. Mm-hmm. And there's just innocent people in there. That and just
kids, it's like women,
everyone's getting involved. Yeah, there's
now,
ladies trying to shoot some guy. Like when he busted into the room and shot the guy behind the mirror.
Yeah,
and then she pulls out a gun, son of a bitch, just shoots her. I'm like, oh my god,
bitch, damn.
No mercy at that point, from anyone.
Like, at that point, I was going, God, everybody's got a gun.
Yeah, no.
It's like, where'd you put it? You know,
it's the revolution, man. You see why in what George Clooney was threatening in From Dusk Till Dawn when he says, I will turn this place into the Wild Bunch if you don't do what I say. It's like,
what a Tarantino line. You'd have to know the movie to get the line, yeah. Oh, boy.
Is there anything you didn't like? Was there anything that was particularly... Like, you know, no, you liked it all?
Not really.
Yeah. Justine, yeah. I'm curious.
I'm able to look over a little discrepancy.
I'm curious to see what Justine's going to, Grace is
going to nitpick.
Go, Justine.
I'm going to nitpick. The violence was good.
Yeah.
Love the violence. Love the murder.
When I saw the blood, I felt like, wow, we're moving on.
I felt
now.
Alive, yeah.
Because usually what they do is they show a gun, they go boom, and then the guy's laying down, then you see the blood. Like,
yeah, they do that in a Magnificent.
They paint
Seven.
It like right after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, or there's a hole, and then the blood shows up later. Mm-hmm. Like, they just never really.
They perfected it. By this movie, they're perfecting
it.
Was,
yeah, that's all I kept paying attention to, because you kept seeing it coming out of their
squibs.
Body. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Somebody got shot, and you saw them get shot.
How'd you like to be the guy in charge of squibs in this movie? He's got like a truck. All right, what do you need? I got 100 squibs.
Are you getting shot at?
CGI,
here. Right.
So,
no.
I mean, it's practical. Not CGI, so they did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed with that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I thought the movie was boring, but...
Boring?
You thought it was... Like John's like,
but the
boring.
Beginning part was good, and I liked the ending. So everything in the middle there...
Like too long?
Was... It just was...
Too much stuff?
I don't know. I just didn't really
care
for them.
I was wondering what you... Yeah,
I wish they gave me some... Like, I just didn't care.
What specifically?
Because they're also rotten.
Well,
I just didn't care for
I was wondering if she was going to like the... Because she seems to like these movies with a lot of male bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this... I wasn't sure how you were going to go with this one.
I mean, I liked seeing that they were friends, Pike and TC or...
Thornton.
I liked that they were friends and then seeing what was happening and they're kind of watching each other and seeing how it goes. But otherwise, I didn't really... It was okay. It was good and it was okay.
It didn't pull you in.
The story
didn't pull you in.
I wish I cared for them. If I cared for one person, I would have liked
them. Yeah, because most of them don't have much in the way of redeeming qualities.
Exactly.
And then there's just like the when they do the little flashback, it threw me off because we haven't seen that before in their movies.
Oh, the little shimmer flashback?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh.
Semi-translucent flashback.
Mom always said, don't play football in the house.
Yeah, I remember the time.
Remember that time I was in a whorehouse and... Florence Henderson said, now don't play football in the house,
Patrick, what did you think?
I agree with her on some points that, like, story-wise, it was kind of tough to get into because you really don't feel for any of these characters. The overall movie was enjoyable. But, I mean, the only real issue I had with this movie was just the stereotypes.
Yeah.
That was rough. That was hard to watch.
Yeah, it is very. Again, you get two different. This is
the stereotype. That's the other side of the spectrum.
Like the dirty Mexican. Yeah. You know what I mean? Although I do like the fact that the guy who plays Mapache, General Mapache, Emilio Fernandez, he was actually a huge director in Mexico during the golden age of Mexican cinema. He actually directed like Dolores del Rio.
Oh wow!
Directed our friend Pedro Almendarez, who was Karimbe in From Russia with Love. He actually directed him a few times.
Wow.
And he was always did these movies that were very like the working class people were kind of elevated, you know, kind of made movies that celebrated like the working class in Mexico. And he was a friend of Peckinpah, so Peckinpah put him in the movie.
How about that?
And one thing I do love about the movie is they don't translate what they're saying in Spanish.
Yes, it's mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, you don't
so
know.
So good. I love
and,
that part.
Props to Ernest Borgnine. His Spanish is pretty good. Like, really? I was like, dude, he's actually speaking really good. So I was interested because I was not, there's no subtitles, but they were speaking perfect Spanish.
Yeah.
Everything's in character. And I just love all the stuff with like Angel and his village.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
The that whole was
thing.
A good scene.
Yeah.
I love that you see the whole, they're going into stuff about the revolution that's, while the soldiers are stereotyped, they're bandits kind of.
Yeah.
Like, they're
yeah.
kind of like a offshoot. Faction of the army, and they're basically just robbing. And,
right, it's an excuse.
And it's an excuse
to rob and pillage and rape. Yeah.
I love that you still work the Germans in there because at the time the Germans yeah. were trying to get Mexico in on the
sure.
in World War One on yeah. on the German side.
Yep.
So there's that history. There's like a lot of interesting history.
The Germans are always trying to get the Mexicans over to the German side.
Please,
yeah.
you used to be a colony. Please, you're next to the United States.
I love how he keeps yelling, put it on a tripod.
Oh, yeah.
You can't shoot it like that. Put it on it. And then they're just ducking. Oh, shit.
I love it.
It's like kids with a toy.
Because they're drunk. And, some of the stereotypes are, but there's also some
stuff.
There's
some good ones, but... Like, just some of them are just hard to watch.
Actually, the character that does pull you in is Angel. That is,
I was going to say, Angel was really good. Angel's probably the only one you feel for.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, oh no.
And he's trying to do good for his people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all his storyline. Like, that's great.
And then, and his people do end up getting to, you see them join.
Yeah,
exactly.
You see them join up at the end, and you know, Deke Thornton's going to ride with them. And for me, I liked Robert Ryan always pulls me in because when I watch this movie, anytime I watch it, I always think, man, it's too bad he didn't get more to do in a lot. Like he's in Dirty Dozen, but he's kind of like the comic relief. He doesn't have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. He's great in Bad Day at Black Rock.
His golden era is the 40s and 50s. If you want to see Robert Ryan in like lead parts, check out his filmography from the 40s and 50s. That's when he, you know, like Crossfire. Or is it Crossfire? Or is it, there's a bunch of movies I always mix up. The one with, it's the three Roberts. You got Robert Young, Robert Ryan, and Robert Mitchum.
Like the three Chris's.
He does a lot of really great work in the 40s and 50s. I mean, that's his golden era.
Boy, he died really young.
A lot of film noir. You'll see him in a lot of film noir.
When did he die?
He died in 1973.
Wow.
He was
62. 60?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
62.
Because I love him in this one. I do love him in...
Well, I mean, anytime he's on the screen, or William Holden, that's what makes the movie real. Because these are people with some real life experience, you know, and which is really hard to find anymore, where you've got an actor where you just believe it because they've had a life, you know?
Yeah, he does have that face. There's a lot in his face that kind of...
Yeah, and he's another guy that was in the... he was in the
He
service.
Doesn't talk a lot, so like you see a lot of emoting from him, which mm-hmm. is nice.
He's kind of like Bronson, is it? Or Clint Eastwood. It's all behind the eyes. You know, you're not doing a lot of talking, so you better...
You can see, like, he's in a lot of pain, and he's going through a lot of turmoil.
Exactly. That's tougher, I think, than having a whole lot of lines. You have to paint the picture completely from what's going on in your brain, you know?
Paint the wagon.
Oh, by the way, Lee Marvin...
Yes.
...was offered the role of Pike.
You know what? I could see that.
Accepted it.
No. But he was drinking too much.
Bailed out to make Paint Your Wagon because he made more money.
Paint Your Wagon.
He would have been the William Holden role.
I got a note to myself. Make sure we show Justine Clint Eastwood singing in Paint Your
Wagon.
She
watched it.
No, I watched it.
What'd you think?
I watched it in Hawaii.
The whole movie or just
that
scene?
Well, because I listened to the podcast and I texted Mario. I'm like, you guys can't tell me what I can and can't watch. So then I watched Paint Your Wagon and I was like, I hate this. I don't know why I watched
it. Oh, you tried watching the whole movie?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Because we were just going to show you that one scene.
And I didn't know Mario never saw the whole movie.
I could never make it.
I would not have finished it at all.
I wouldn't have asked you to watch the whole movie. I couldn't make it through the whole movie hardly.
I didn't realize that's why you guys didn't want me to watch
it.
No, it's just not a good, you know, it's tough to sit through. I could. I don't think I was able to sit through the whole thing.
Which,
but we just,
I had no idea.
We wanted you to see one. The note to myself is just show you that 2 minutes of Clint Eastwood in the field picking flowers and singing.
I saw the whole thing.
Wow, that's a hell of a thing.
What's better, Wild Bunch or Paint Your Wagon?
Ugh, Wild Bunch.
So what was the expression on your face when...
I'll tell you what I saw. She was pissed.
No, but when he's walking through the field going, I gave my love a flower.
It was weird. He's not a bad singer.
No, but it's so weird.
But it's weird.
It's weird to see him in a field of flowers singing.
He never does this again. Good for him.
He never did it again.
I did read, though, he said after that movie, he's like, he knows not what not to do now when he's filming. And that's why he made Mel Paso. He started thinking about it after this one.
Well, there you go. So every movie's got a purpose, even if it's Paint Your Wagon. I think that's remarkable that you sat through the whole thing.
I thought you guys seen it all. If I would have known you guys haven't finished it, I wouldn't have finished it.
I think I tried watching it with my buddy Alex. We couldn't get through half of it. You know, I don't know that we made it to the end. You know?
Would you have liked Wild Bunch better if Lee Marvin would have been in it?
No. I'm not a fan of him. I know he's drunk in everything he films. I know he drinks all the time. And anytime I read the little things about what happened in the background and how they're mad at him for those things, it makes me mad. So that's why I don't like seeing him, because I know he's frustrating someone. He frustrated Bronson, and Bronson's my man. So
Oh, well, what's the story? He frustrated Bronson?
Yeah, Bronson, they were trying to do a shot, but he was too drunk.
Oh, what movie was that?
Dirty Dozen.
Oh, is that right? How about that?
Yeah.
Nobody messes with Bronson.
Nobody. I think he does some good scenes, but otherwise I'm...
Yeah, he's done some great movies. And the thing we were laughing about is he actually is not a bad singer either. You know, and Peter Wagon, he actually can sing, you know.
He's so dorky in that movie, too, because he's happy. And I never seen him so happy.
Yeah. You know what? There's a great Western that we're not going to get to. And speaking of a good cast, it's Burt Lancaster, Lee Marvin, Robert Ryan, and Woody Strode, and Claudia Cardinale.
The
Professionals.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a Magnificent Seven type where they have to put a team together to this bandit played by Jack Palance, who was the bad guy in Shane. He was the gunfighter.
Oh,
he plays a Mexican bandit in this one who kidnaps this woman this American's wife who is Mexican. So they go into Mexico to rescue her. So you know Woody Strode, he was waiting for the train, and he was the coward in Pork Chop Hill.
Uh-huh.
And Robert Ryan is great because he's the guy who loves horses. He's the horse guy. And Lee Marvin's the weapons guy. And Burt Lancaster and him were buddies back in the day.
So is it good? I've never seen it.
It's a really fun, let's assemble a team and accomplish a mission. But it's set in the, and it's kind of the same era as.
60s?
Early
60s?
No. It's Western, but it's 67. Made in 67, but it's kind of the same era as The Wild Bunch, kind of that same era.
Yeah, I always wanted to see that one.
At the end of the West. And I think Conrad Hall or maybe did the cinematography on it. It's an interesting movie.
The Professionals. I'll have to check it out.
It's an interesting movie. Worth checking out. But back to The Wild Bunch.
I know we really digressed there.
So, Patrick, you liked it or you liked some of it?
I like some of it.
I like this. I love this one. Just because I think I like how I like the time it takes place in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are stereotypes, but then I also like that you see Pancho Villa's troops as kind of myth. You never really get a good look at them.
Yeah, that was a nice touch. They're just these mythical guys off the edge of the screen, just doing this.
They're getting closer,
and they're doing so much damage to these other guys. Yeah. Just
getting closer, you know.
Yeah.
But you do kind of you understand why the general has led men because he won't retreat in that. He sees that kid looking up to him.
Oh,
and
God, that scene with the kid. Yeah. And then, Christ, at the end, the kid grabs a gun to avenge him. You know, it's wow, that's that little kid.
It's a little kid and the old man that take him down finally at the end when everybody gets killed. And God, you know, the guy must have, that's a crazy scene at the end. There's a lot of dead Mexicans at the end of that. It's kind of none of them could have brought him down. Nobody could get a headshot. You guys are supposed to be trained army troops.
I just think it's funny that everybody, you're expecting the babies to grab a gun, you know, because everybody is grabbing a gun, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the old ladies, die! You know? It's everybody's getting the...
Yeah. A lady grabs it out of her handbag.
That's right. And you're expecting that. Yeah, like the old lady from Blazing Saddles. Yeah.
Well, you do see where a lot of modern movies get the Peckinpah, where they're doing scene where they all load up and they're walking through the camp and it's kind of like, you know.
That's a great scene where they just keep walking forward. The four of them are just walking.
Yeah, everybody's kind of
unstoppable.
Like, what are these guys
doing? I mean, Reservoir Dogs, you know, that's basically the Reservoir Dogs shot.
You see where Quentin Tarantino got a lot of his...
This is the jumping off point, I think, for his, for him. I'm sure that this is one of the key movies in his childhood.
Let's rate it. John Sandy, Wild Bunch.
This is a 9. This is a classic. Yeah.
Jake.
Give like a... Say an 8.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
6.5.
6.5. Justine.
5.5.
Whoa. Still better than Casablanca.
No, Casablanca 6.
Oh, it's a little less than Casablanca.
Just a little
I was
less.
Gonna give it a 5, but... I do like the violent parts in the front.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's, like I said, we bookended the 60s. This movie
is so different. Like,
yeah. And there's a lot of stuff you haven't seen, like the slow mo, the cutting. There's a lot of.
Yeah, and they use the civilians to, like, hide behind.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. He uses that one lady's a human sheep.
Yeah, they use like, a bunch of them. Like, it's just.
These are not nice
scenes,
guys.
You haven't seen it.
They'll do whatever it takes to survive.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
Including grabbing women as meat shields.
Yes, seriously.
But and to see just like a movie like that and that time, it's really good. So
there's no discrimination.
Can you see the connection between like Bonnie and Clyde, like the violence there, and then him going, oh, okay. And Peckinpah said...
Let's crank that up to 11.
And Peckinpah said that like what he was trying to say with the violence, he was kind of... He was shocked that people took the violence the wrong way. People thought it was like a celebration of violence. And he's trying to say, look, we watch the Vietnam War on our TVs every night. That's right. And people are kind of, they're kind of desensitized to it. And he was trying to shock people back into going, wow, this is like violence is not good.
People thought he was trying to glorify it.
Yeah. And he's
like, because it looks like a ballet. Some of those shots of people falling off of a roof, they just thought it was like a ballet.
I don't get that from watching it.
This is the first time I think we see the catapults too, where grenades, people are like flying in the air with like the grenades and stuff. There's a lot of subtext in this movie. So I recommend it. I give it an 8, but I understand why people, I totally get why you guys, you know, would be, I mean, it's, I'm not mad about it. Same with Bonnie and Clyde. It's like,
I liked it more than Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde.
So, Bonnie and Clyde.
I was like so close to texting you, just like, I'm not finishing this.
Love that
you
movie.
You can't make me watch it.
Now, there's no movie, that you have refused to finish so far, right?
Yeah, I mean, I watched all of them. In the digital
movie club? Yeah, there's movie.
She's a trooper.
You're a good egg. I appreciate it. Because if someone was making me watch movies, I'd be like, pass.
I know. Can you imagine if somebody was like making us watch Dirty Dancing? I'd just be all, no, I'm not going to finish this film.
Well, if somebody tried to make me watch
What is wrong with Dirty Dancing?
I'd say nobody puts baby in a corner. That's
baby.
Right. So we're going to wrap it up.
Nothing wrong.
What do we got next week?
So for the next edition of the... We're going to go back and we're going to do some... take some audience suggestions, some suggestions from you. I don't remember who suggested what, but if you did, thank you very much. I know Michael, Bagford, Eric, a couple of them
had suggestions.
I think had suggestions.
Night of Living Dead was Brent.
Night of Living
Dead
was Brent. And we're going to do...
So what is it going to be next?
Night of Living Dead, The Odd Couple, and Dr. Strangelove, I think, was Michael Bagford.
Yes. Yep. What's the year of... The Exorcist. What year is that?
73. We will not get to The Exorcist, though.
That's Why? Way later.
I don't own it.
Why?
It scares the shit out of it.
That's basically like a documentary of what happens when you mess with powers you don't understand. So.
Then you were about to.
He's don't. Mexican. It's scary.
Yeah. Oh, what? Mexican. What's that now? What'd you say?
Did you see the, Conjuring?
I don't watch anything.
You don't watch anything about those? No?
Mm-mm.
So religious.
You know why? Because it freaks you out more. Because you know that shit's real.
Yeah.
When we saw the beginning part,
you gotta watch
them.
I don't believe in ghosts. Demons, that's another story.
The beginning of Wild Bunch was very confusing. So I told Patrick, I'm like, is this The Purge? What are we watching? Like,
The Purge,
who's what?
1800s, 1913 style.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the beginning.
Because they're all
of
dressed up and they're looking to do some damage.
Yes, sir.
How do you believe in demons but not ghosts?
Because it's different.
That doesn't make sense. It's different. That doesn't make sense.
This isn't an actual conversation.
Yes, it is.
Throwing it out there. Stuff with like the demon. I don't like
demons
any of that stuff.
Taking over you.
I do know that it seems like you talk to people that were freaked out over The Exorcist, and the people that were really freaked out were the Catholics. Anybody who was raised Catholic was like super freaked out.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems to me when you talk to somebody, you can almost tell from the level of terror. You know, it's like they were, you know.
John, you're Irish, man. It can happen.
I'm Irish. I was not raised Catholic, though.
Exercise the demon.
This house is clean.
Do you use squats? How do you exercise the demons?
Are we going to be able... Are you going to catch up to any scary movies?
No. Oh, yeah.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, but not in October.
Oh, yeah. We can try some... It.
That will be in October.
Are we gonna try... guessing majority of your... That should, your horror movies should, are in the 80s or something.
Yeah,
or
when
70s.
We
that's where you get a big surge of
we
horror
could
movies.
Jump. We could jump ahead and do like Alien.
Well, no, when we talk about Night of the Living Dead, it'll be October 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Can we do a Halloween horror movie month?
No, yeah, can that's, we?
Who that are we sounds copying? Great. We're copying
everyone.
You want to do some 70s horror?
Everybody we'll be, else.
That's like the golden age.
Yeah,
of,
why don't we do that? Okay. For Halloween, you want to do like
or just or at least the week for Halloween.
We'll do some 70s horror. Yeah, because we'll do, movie, it'll be the week before. Movies. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
All right. We have a month.
So what do you got? Do you know what you got?
Well Harkins is going to be showing The Shining, and I'm going to go to that.
Oh.
Who's that?
No, thanks.
Who's showing
Harkins? The
fact that I have to go with her is making me upset.
There's one in Cerritos.
It scares the shit out of me.
Have you seen it before?
She's never seen it.
Really? Wow.
But so when she watched Ready Player One, I saw it was on the list of what they're going to show as classics for October.
Hey, did we miss Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? When is that?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? No,
yet.
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
You're still good.
We got a couple minutes left, so we're going to wrap it up for John, for Patrick, for Justine, for Jake. Thanks for joining us on the Digital Movie Club. We'll be back next week with our new feature. I ended incorrectly.
What are you up to? The
new feature is called What Have You Done?
What have you done? That sounds horrible. What yeah. are you doing?
What have you done?
What have you done? Yeah. So we'll get back with
what's
that.
What's in the box?
And then we're going to take care of that right now, John. We'll find out what's in the box. And then we're going to say goodbye with a song that was featured in the film, The Wild
Bonnie
Bunch.
Clyde?
It was called, it's a very sad song called Las Golondrinas. It was actually my grandfather's favorite song, and it was used as they were leaving the village. So we're going to say goodbye. This isn't it. This is an ad.
This is it.
My grandpa loved this song.
I thought you were going to put a cue Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
That's it. So fight the power and stay brown. And this transmission ends now.
Se hallará extraviado.